This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, moving on to the Big Apple. We got the Jets in Seattle. Jets get shut out in the second half and clinch another losing season. After the game, Aaron Rodgers said there's 11 guys on the field. Is this the end of the road for him?
Yes, I think it is, Pat. And I know you're going to probably disagree with me. Because
no, I'm not.
You're not. You're finally going to agree. Yeah. Let's go. I think there were some people that wanted to say he might have had a hidden injury and the bye week was going to make things better. And he actually did make a couple of throws early in the game, but then they fell back into their old ways and got shut out in the second half and did nothing. And Aaron Rodgers goes to his favorite tropes after the game, where when they lose, it's not his fault. Everybody shares in it, as if everyone's making the same amount of money on the team and as if everyone has the same amount of power and control of the team. We know that's not the case. Let me juxtapose that and compare that to what Geno Smith said after the game. Remember, he got drafted by the Jets, got punched in the face by a teammate, and got run out of there. He said this: "I'm not going to make this game about myself." That's a leader. That's a guy that did not play a great game, but gutted it out and found a way to win. And he's not going to say, "Look at me. Let me be petty here because this team turned its back on me, and now I'm getting the last laugh." I just don't think there's going to be a team that wants to put up with Aaron Rodgers' crap anymore. He literally got everybody fired there this season. The offensive coordinator, the head coach, and the general manager. Why would anybody want to bring him in and basically sign their organization over to him? He's not worth it anymore, Pat.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, man. I do believe that this is the end of the road for Aaron Rodgers, just because the baggage that's going to come with him. And we all know that the NFL locker rooms are younger. So you can't have the same antics that you had back in 2009 when the average age of the football team was 27, 28 years old. Like, you have to communicate differently to these young players now and lead differently. You know what I mean? You just can't. Guys take that, you know, not the wrong way, but they take that to heart when they have a guy who they look up to, and then they feel like that he's not a part of us and he's calling us out in the media. That's just not a good look, man. And I believe that's not holding well over in the locker room. And that's why that team cannot seem to get out of their own way. You know, not scoring a point in the second half from probably one of the best quarterbacks to ever, you know, throw the football around a yard, and allow Geno Smith to come back on your turf and come back and lead his team to victory. That, it was just pathetic, and I hate to see it each and every week, because we all know what the outcome is going to be each and every time the Jets play a football game, and we honestly can't wait to hear what Aaron Rodgers is going to say or throw under the bus after the game.
Right.
Because if it's not going perfectly right, BA used to always say this. When you point the finger back at someone, you got three more point back at you.
Well, you know, not everybody gets the storybook ending. Ray Lewis won a Super Bowl in his last year. Jerome Bettis got to do that. Tom Brady could have done that, but decided he wanted to play an extra year, and things got ugly with the divorce. But still, they made the playoffs.
Yep.
And, you know, was not anything like this. You're one of the great players of your generation. Does watching this make you feel even better about the fact that you're doing a podcast with me right now? If you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, not that you look, corners do have a lot of eyeballs on them, because if you make one mistake, everybody sees it.
No doubt about it.
But, you know, like it is sad to watch somebody who has four MVPs and is a first ballot Hall of Famer turn into like a punchline, Pat.
Yeah. It is sad to see, man, because we all know what Aaron means to this game. And honestly, I think what it is how he's been handling the off seasons, in my opinion. Not being with the team, going into his dark. Now, yeah, I get it. Everybody need their time to themselves. But at the same time, you are a quarterback. So we love to see you around the building. We love interacting with you because you're the leader of the football team.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So I just think it starts in the offseason, man. And with him not being with the team and cutting it and grinding it out with them, that goes a long way, man.
I think his career, it's so eerie how similar it ended up being to Brett Favre's, where they both had a guy drafted in the first round behind them that caused friction with the organization and ended with them going to the Jets. And Favre, I think, got to the same point where obviously their interests are so radically different. Mm-hmm. But Favre's off seasons were spent the same way. His ass wasn't out there working out and trying to think about ways to get better.
Right.
He hated practice. He just wanted to play the games.
Right.
And eventually, when you're 40 years old, that catches up to you. Now, actually, in Brett's case, he went to Minnesota and had a great year there and got them to the NFC Championship game. So his third team.
And if it wasn't for AP, probably been in the Super Bowl.
Exactly. Great point. So he did actually have a good second chapter with a new team. But it's crazy how their career arcs are almost identical. And unlike Brett, I don't see the third time being the charm for Aaron Rodgers. Chargers and Falcons. Kirk Cousins threw four interceptions today in Atlanta's third straight loss. Now they're 6-6. Is it time for Atlanta to consider playing Michael Penix Jr.?
Not yet. Because they're still right there in the hunt. Well, they're second.
Six. They're tied.
Yeah, they're tied. So they're tied for first or they're tied for second?
Tied for first with Tampa.
Yeah, not yet. I know this was a bad game for Kirk, but you're still right there in the hunt. You know what I mean? So I think that'd be premature. But I did see some news earlier. It was either yesterday or today that the Falcons are possibly looking to trade Kirk next year.
Well, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
You know, and I think one of the reasons why is it's in theory, this is perfect. We'll have this guy wait behind the veteran starting quarterback and we'll do the Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love, Patrick Mahomes, Alex Smith thing with this guy. But when the guy you signed who's older starts to not play well, I think it creates drama and controversy because people naturally want to see what the young guy can do.
Right.
And it's made even worse by the fact that so many of these first round picks have played well this year.
Yeah.
Bo Nix, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, even Drake May on a bad team.
Yeah.
So that's why I think there's this thought that he's going to be in a new place next year and not make Penix sit for a second straight year. Pat, I watched this game. It's the biggest to me. If Kirk doesn't throw. If he throws one interception, I think they win.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that he literally lost them the game. LA did nothing offensively.
Yeah, nothing.
They did nothing absolute they did bupkis.
Had 56 rushing yards and 131 yards passing.
I mean, the pick six was ridiculous. The ball took 10 minutes to get to the receiver on the out route, and the guy jumped it and took it all the way back.
I know.
His arm looked terrible on that throw. LA basically didn't lose the game. That's the best thing you can say about it. The quarterback on the other side did. So when that happens, and especially when it's at home, it looks even worse. I'm with you, though. I'm not ready to play him. But I do think there's a scenario where I'd want to see him before the season was over in a couple of games just to give him a taste of NFL football before the season ends.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're probably going to be in the race until the very end in this division. So that's what's going to complicate things.
Yeah.
Cousins, those wins against Tampa Bay looked like he was a great signing, and now I do think it's fair to have reservations and second thoughts.
Yeah, I think it's just too early to play pennants right now, just because the team is still in the hunt, and you want that experience, you know, in at this stage of the season. So yeah, I don't see pennants playing anytime soon. Titans and Commanders. Jaden Daniels account for 4 touchdowns, with rumors swirling that Cliff Kingsbury could be hired as the Chicago Bears head coach. Would that stun his development?
This is a great question, because I want to believe that the kid is the system. It's not the system makes him. He makes the system what it is. But you've been so adamant on these shows that this has been so perfect for him, because he went into an offense that he was familiar with, a college-type offense with a guy who thrived and won the Heisman Trophy last year. Yep. So it's tough, man. Now, I've seen him. It didn't look as good for that 3-game losing streak, but I didn't think he was just making throws to wide open dudes. Like, I wasn't watching them like I've seen Brock Purdy in San Francisco being, holy smokes, there isn't a corner within 10 yards of this guy. I could have maybe made that throw.
Right.
So I'm going to say, would that stunt his development? I'm going to say yes, but I don't think it means that he's a product of what they've built there in Washington. I don't think we're going to look at it and say Cliff Kingsbury leaving for another job is going to end up causing Jaden Daniels' career to go south. But I do think it might be a bumpier road to start next year, Pat, if he's got to learn a whole new system with a new offensive coordinator. He shouldn't have to learn a new playbook. That's reserved for guys that have bad years or there's not a good fit. It's been a perfect fit there. And that's the problem. It's been so perfect. Somebody wants to take their coach and make him a head coach again. But I would say to Chicago, be careful with that. You played for Cliff. I think he's better served as an offensive coordinator, but how could he say no to a head coaching job, especially working with Caleb Williams, who he had at USC for a year?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And when I was with them, I felt that, you know, it was not a hard job, but it was a lot for him coming from the college level, now being in the pros. But I felt that he handled it very, very well. And who knows, he may have learned, you know, went through his bumps and bruises in his first stint being a head coach with Arizona Cardinals. He may be better this time around. So I would love to see Cliff get another head coaching job, because, you know, he is a really cool guy. He understands how to talk to the offensive guys and the young players. And I feel like that, with him possibly getting another opportunity, he will understand how to talk to the collective better. Now, I feel like that was one of the things that kind of hurt him, not being able to communicate with the entire team, if that made sense. So now having an opportunity to be on the, watching it, you know, from a different perspective now, I think he'll have a better crack at it next go round.
So then how about the Daniels part of it then, Pat?
I don't think it would stun his development, because with Dan Quinn, understanding what Jaden likes, how he's going to be successful, I believe they'll find another coordinator in there that matches his, you know, ability and the things that he would like to run, to not stun his development. Because we saw if we're able to provide this offense for him, we see what we can get. So that's going to be on Dan Quinn to do an awesome job to try to get that same type of play caller in there, so that development is not stunned along the process.
Brian Robinson came back for Washington today, went over 100 yards. That's key for them. I'm also wondering what the heck's going on with Marshawn Lattimore, because he has not played since they made that big trade with Washington, and he's got a hamstring issue, which I don't know what happened with the way that got diagnosed, but they can't be happy that they gave up so much for him in a trade, and he hasn't been out there yet.
Yeah.
Rams and Saints. Did LA's win put it back into the conversation to win the NFC West, Pat?
Yes, and I've been telling you.
I know, and I'm not listening.
Yes, it put them right back in the midst of things, because this was a big road game, a big road win for them, because the New Orleans Saints was playing with a lot of confidence coming off two big wins in the previous games that they played. And the Rams started this game off slow. You know, defense was pretty much allowing.
They didn't score a touchdown in the first half.
I know. The defense allowed the Saints to pretty much drive the ball up and down, but didn't bend, forcing them to kick field goals. And then the offense finally got it going. Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford with the no-look passes. Williams running, pounding the ball on that New Orleans defense. You know, this is a – we all know how this offense is going to look when they are well-oiled. And we know that this is a well-coached football team and a young football team that's going to play with a lot of fire and passion. So I love the way that they're playing right now. I told you, once they get their guys in the lineup on the offense, this was going to look like a total different team. And right now it's proven my guy Pony right.
Yeah, I think they got lucky in this game. I think they got lucky that Honey Badger went down with an injury. That Taysom Hill had a gruesome injury in the fourth quarter, had to get carted off after a knee injury. I think that hurt New Orleans. Jared Verse made a big play for LA. He batted down that ball at the end of the game. That's one of the biggest, that's one of the best draft picks. He's going to be, I think, right in the running for Defensive Rookie of the Year with Mitchell from Philadelphia there at corner. I think it's a two-horse race for that award. So they pulled it out. I like New Orleans to win because for whatever reason, every time we talk, I've been anti-LA, although I did pick them to beat the Eagles and they got blown out. So maybe I'm just jaded from that prediction. So you know what? I'm going to go on record and say this. I'm still going to pick Arizona to win the division, even with their late season bugaboo, late season collapses. They're still my pick to win the NFC West, Pat.
So you have more trust in Kyler Murray than Matthew Stafford.
When you phrase it that way, that's an idiotic take to have, because I think Matthew Stafford is the superior quarterback.
So that's what that's what it's going to come down to in this point of the season.
But Arizona's schedule is so much easier, Pat.
I got you. But hell, man, you never know.
I'm going with who they're playing. I'm going with the other teams, not their teams.
And who is Arizona remaining schedule?
Funny you should ask. I have it right here in front of me. They play Seattle at home, Patriots at home, at the Panthers, at the Rams, host the 49ers. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So that's 6 games?
No, that's 5.
That's 5 games. I can see them going 2-3-2.
Okay, that's get you to 9 wins.
Yeah, 3-2. And who the Rams got?
The Rams have The Rams have the Bills.
Lost.
At the 49ers.
Win.
At the Jets.
Win.
The Cardinals and the Seahawks.
Yeah, it's going to come down to the – I can see them going 3-2 as well.
And that comes down to what? Tiebreakers, I guess, is what we're talking about.
Yeah. It's going to come down to a tiebreaker. It's going to come down to that. If the Cardinals don't beat Seattle when Seattle comes to Arizona.
Yeah, I agree. Arizona can't lose this next game.
No.
They got to beat the Seahawks if they're going
to. They have to beat the Seahawks. Because if they lose this game, they're definitely going to tank it. Man, I'm telling you that right now. They're going to lose all hope. I'm telling you, they're going to lose
all
hope.
New England at home.
Yeah, they better not lose to New England at home.